This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. My name is Kurt and I will be your host this evening. Looking forward to a great show. I've got Sammy in the studio. And Sammy and I are going to talk about a checklist of things to consider when you transition. It's a long list. There's plenty to get through. But we've sort of minimised the song playage so that we can have lots of chats.
Well, Sammy likes to talk a lot, so, you know.
Sammy does, yeah. And we like to hear Sammy talk because she's very wise.
Now I'm blushing again.
Oh, I'm blushing. You're looking very pretty tonight, Sammy.
Oh, I didn't wear all my uniform tonight, did I?
All your uniform?
We should share, shouldn't we?
What did you forget to wear tonight, Sammy?
I forgot to wear an article of clothing that I normally don't go anywhere without.
What could that possibly be?
You can say. I don't want to say.
Is it your bra?
It was.
How rude, Sammy.
I know. Maybe people should send us a message and let us know what they've walked out and forgotten to wear.
Yeah. I have actually forgotten my binder one time, and that was kind of like, hang on. It's almost felt like I was missing pants, you know, sort of that exposed feeling.
I think that's how I feel at the moment. So I'm walking around with my jacket on everywhere so no one can see.
Well, lucky it's radio. If you would like to see Sammy with no bra, you can SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Or you can email us on onair@joy.org.au.
That's it. And go to joy.org.au and go to our Facebook page and we'll put pictures up just for you. So you can print them out and put them next to your bed. All right, next up we've got Camille and it's a song called Mars Is No Fun and it's really cool and I hope you enjoy it. Listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Radio that's out and proud. Joy.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I'm Kurt and I'm joined by Sammy in the studio tonight. And tonight we're going through a checklist of things to consider when you transition. So we've got a massive list here. We've got a lot to get through. But we're just going to touch on each issue or each thing in the list and just sort of give you a brief explanation of what we mean, really.
Just share a little bit of maybe personal information about it.
Yeah, give you sort of our own stories and what we've been through and how we've dealt with that. So the first, I guess the very first step of transitioning is realising that something's wrong.
Yeah, and that maybe we're uncomfortable with our body parts.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of my biggest things.
Yep.
And it took me a long time to kind of avoid it and try to think that it wasn't a problem.
That's it, yeah. And also you kind of think that you've just got to be like everyone else because everyone else is fine. Why shouldn't I be fine?
And it's kind of weird actually having to sit down and explain this to somebody. So it's like you just try to avoid it.
Yeah. It's a little bit embarrassing because it's to do with gender and gender is usually related to sex. And it can be embarrassing because I think people who are transgender have often been seen as it's almost like a sex fetish rather than they're actually having gender dysphoria.
Well, a few years ago, anything you would ever see about trans in movies or on media was always very fetishy and, you know, revolved around prostitution in a nasty way.
Yep.
And, you know, lots of violence and it was just icky and yucky. You were kind of like the weird people, I suppose. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, the world tries to make us feel like we're normal, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to be weird.
Yeah, yeah. I actually thought when I was really young that all girls wanted to be boys. I just thought, you know, that boys...
I'm so glad that they don't.
Yeah, true, I am glad also. I didn't think that there was anything different about me. I just thought that that's how everyone's brain worked.
So I guess the thing that happens once, you know, we've made this self-discovery about ourselves that something's wrong. I guess for me, the single most important thing to do next is to educate yourself.
Yeah.
And go and find out things. We're so lucky we have the internet now. I'm a bit of an early adopter with technology, and I've been using the internet since the mid-90s. And so I was able to read stuff about trans things on the internet back then.
Yeah.
But the quality of the information now is so much better.
Yep.
I do tend to think that Wikipedia is a great sort of jump-off point.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Wikipedia, look up transgender, and then you'll find a whole bunch of links to other Wikipedia articles, and then you just go from there and hunt and learn as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, yep.
And a lot of these things that we're going to talk about are things that I learned off the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think education is probably the single most important thing to do next.
Yeah. The internet was the first place that I went to educate myself, and it really helped, and it really opened my eyes up to other people who are transgender in all different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And it helps also create a community to come together on the internet, on social media and things.
I found a lot of really weird stuff, though.
Yeah?
I found things that, you know, I came up with this word trans fanatic to talk about some of the wording and some of the things that people were talking about, and they were very fanatical about it in a bizarre sort of strange way. And I think a lot of the people that were talking on forums years ago were not genuine.
Yeah?
And it wasn't trues,
okay.
The stuff that they were talking about.
Mm.
I was misled quite a lot, actually, and that scared me off.
Yeah, well, that's something you've got to be careful of, reading things that are not credible.
So I think the advice I give now is that there are some very credible authors, people who write blogs and those kinds of things, and it just doesn't take very long now to find out who they are.
Yeah.
And I think you can actually go get real information from the sorts of things that they produce.
That's right, yeah. We'll be back in a little bit, and we'll continue our discussion on the checklist of things to consider when you transition. You're listening to Joy 94.9, and it's We're on Transpositions.
Hi, this is Tina Cousins, having fun with Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Thank you, Tina Cousins. So the checklist to go through before you transition, we've talked about realising that something was wrong and feeling uncomfortable with your body parts and educating yourself. And really we've only talked about going to the internet for education.
Yeah.
Are there any other organisations that you'd recommend, Sammy, like Transgender Victoria?
Look, I think that having social networks of other people that are trans can be very helpful.
Yep.
I'd also like to say that education never stops, that, like, you're just learning all the time. I'm still,
all the
you
time.
Know, when you never stop learning things.
Yeah.
And the world is changing very, very quickly. I think if I'd come out 10 years ago, it would have been I'd be a very different Sammy to the one that I am now, that I didn't come out very long ago. So I think that the world is changing quickly too. Yeah, I think having some trans friends helps.
Yeah.
And there are at least half a dozen different trans groups just in Melbourne that operate, and you can make contact with them, and they're all friendly people.
Yep.
We should maybe segue into one of the things I did on the weekend. I actually attended a queer skating day with Y-Gender, and Y-Gender is a young youth gender diverse group, and it was fabulous. It was such a great day. It was very well run. There was a barbecue. I was there with Bent TV. We're actually producing a transgender series on Bent TV, so I was doing some interviews.
And exciting.
It was really lovely. The people were really lovely. They had some beautiful stories to tell. Some of them made me cry.
Yeah.
Second embarrassing thing for me to tell on this show. But, look, it was really nice. It was a lovely day. I don't think anyone got injured by the time I left. And, lots of lovely people. And I think that was a really good social event. So that's a good way for young people to learn, as well as to network and socialise with each other.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I don't think there'd be too many young people of that sort of age that wouldn't be on social media these days.
Mm-hmm.
And you can connect with friends, and then you can like groups, and you can get feeds of information and so on, share things and tell stories and ask for help and those kinds of things. So, yeah, I think there's all sorts of ways to
connect and educate and even share your own story.
Yeah.
I like sharing my own story, and some people kind of go, oh, I can relate to that part of your story. And it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I guess the next thing is, once you've educated yourself, is actually making a decision to transition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's different. Everyone's different as to how you go about doing that. For me, I had to get to rock bottom. And it was like a really simple decision. I needed to affirm what my real identity was, or I didn't want to be here any longer. It mm-hmm. was very black and white. People say, oh, Sammy, you're so brave. And it's like, no, not really. I'm not brave. It was really simple. It was a simple decision to make at the end of the day. But I had to get to rock bottom
mm-hmm.
before I could actually do that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a common story too.
Definitely. That's the way my story goes. But I think if you're a transgender person, you're always transgender. You don't choose to be transgender.
You choose to decide to do something about it.
Exactly. You choose to treat the gender dysphoria. And I know that when I was sort of choosing to transition, my parents said, if you choose this, if you choose this path, you know, we can't sort of be in your life. And I said, I'm not choosing this path. I'm either dead or this. You know, you've got to, which is better sort of thing. So I think that's really, I think people, a lot of people have a breakdown, have a breakthrough and decide to transgender, to be transgender, to make themselves better and to be a happier person.
And, you know, that was one of the biggest surprises for me. When we get to the end of our list, we'll talk about that. But, like, you know, it's like, wow, this is actually a really cool way to live my life.
Yeah.
I had no idea how good this was actually going to be. So I think making a decision is, for me, it was a no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it for as long as I could possibly remember and always tried to do things to stop myself from doing it.
And yeah.
Eventually I made a decision. I remember the date and time. I remember where I was when I made the decision.
Yeah, really.
It's like one of those things in life that's such an important thing that happened to you.
Yep.
So
it's almost like deciding to be born again.
Oh, well, it is.
It is.
It is.
Yeah, I call this my second life, and it's my second chance because I stuffed up a lot of things before, and this is my fresh start, and it's really nice to have that.
Yeah.
I think also making a decision whether to transition or not is deciding how far you want to go, if you want to go all the way to surgeries, if you want to have hormone treatment, or if you just want to not have any medical transitioning going on and just change your name and your pronouns. So there's all sorts of levels of...
Yeah, I like to use the word journey.
Journey.
And everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
Some of us decide to go to certain extents and certain levels and others only want to do certain things. So I think, and, you know, there's the whole genderqueer people kind of want to be, they feel that they're somewhere in between. And I've got friends who feel that they're, one day they feel one way and one day they feel somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know myself, when I first transitioned and decided to tell my world about it at that time, I was extremely feminine.
Yep.
And I've rolled back a bit from that a little bit more now. And,
yep. You know, because you're more comfortable in your own body.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've gone through this up and down sort of journey along the way. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone's journey is different.
It is, and it's all about finding ourselves and exploring our identity and who we are. And I really like when people have the confidence to be unique and just be whoever they feel like being.
It's cool.
It's cool.
It is cool.
It's cool, yeah. We've just had an email in. Justin from Hawthorne has actually joined up tonight, and it's very exciting, and we welcome you, Justin.
But Jerry, who is looking after our front desk, has actually sent that message, and if you would like to give Jerry a call, you can. Firstly, thank you, Justin. That's much appreciated. We need as many members as we can get.
Yeah, go, Justin.
So you can call Jerry on 1-300-JOY-949 if you like and have a chat with him. He'll be ready to take your call.
That's right. If you don't want to talk to Jerry, which I can't see why, you can SMS on 0427-JOY-949.
And you could also email us at onair@joy.org.au.
We're certainly looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah.
And we want to know about your own story as well. And we also want to know if anyone wants to see Sammy without a bra tonight.
Would you want to? Does anybody want to?
We know you want to.
I think that's why we're not getting any messages.
Maybe.
I don't think that's a good look.
Maybe we scared everyone off. Anyway, back to our checklist. So I guess the next thing, if you want to transition and you feel that that's right for you, you need to tell someone. Talk about it. Don't be embarrassed about it. Tell your bestie or your GP.
Do you know what I did? I actually made a whole lot of new set of friends.
Yeah.
So I was what I would call cross-dressing before I decided to finally transition.
Yeah.
And it was kind of felt really weird. Why am I doing this? Why am I going and getting makeup and women's clothes, dressing up and sneaking out of the house when no one knows I'm out?
Yeah.
You know, looking out the windows, the cars are coming down the street, waiting until the street's clear, making sure the neighbours aren't out, making sure it's dark, and then running out to the pub, there's, you know, where I knew that was a safe place to go.
Yeah.
And it was... So I kind of made a few new friends that way, people mm-hmm. that didn't know me from my other life.
Mm-hmm.
And those people have only ever known me in that way.
Yeah.
And it was a good – and they were really supportive.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, well, this is great. These gay people that I'm hanging out with are actually really cool, nice, lovely, sweet people who don't care what I look like.
Exactly, yeah.
And don't care how I talk or how I walk or I'm presenting myself. And it was like, hey, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And I still have some of those friends from that interesting time.
Nice.
So I kind of felt like I had – it was – two completely different lives that neither of them had anything in common at all.
Yeah.
And then when it came to telling people, well, I'd already decided I was going to transition, but I was really nervous that I was going to get told off by like a professional medical person. But I had had a shrink that I'd used over the years for different sorts of challenging mental health issues. And what I wanted him to do was to help me tell me how I could tell my children.
Mm.
That was the most important thing to me. How do I come out to my children?
Yep.
And he explained the whole process of what happens, which is about shock,
mm-hmm.
when people receive a piece of information that they're not expecting. And he says that, you know, you go through these kind of phases and they're roughly the same for most people.
Mm.
First of all, there's this disbelief. Really? You're going to transition your gender?
Mm.
And then it goes into a, how come I didn't know? Like, what? Well, how come I didn't see this? You know, what was the thing that I didn't actually, that wasn't apparent to me? And then you move into, what can I do to change this? What can I do to stop this?
Ah, yes.
You know, I've got to stop this from happening. And then eventually it gets to acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And each person that I came out to in those early days reacted differently.
Yep.
And the really surprising ones, when I told my shrink, I actually wrote it in a letter because I was too scared to read it out to him. I was so nervous, I was shaking, handing over the piece of paper to him. And he read it and he quickly scanned through it and he just stood up and put his hand out, shake my hand and said, congratulations, Sammy.
Yeah, nice.
I thought you were going to tell me this is a really terrible thing to do. It's like, really?
Yeah.
No, that's great. You've obviously thought about this.
Yep.
I'm just here to, like, help you. Now, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
That was
his
next question. Well, nice. I'm here to get you to help me figure out how to tell my kids.
Yeah, that's it.
And that was amazing. And I, for me, that whole process of telling people has actually been one of the most amazing things.
Yeah. It's a real relief when you tell someone and they're totally fine with it.
It is amazing. Like, it's like, wow. I wasn't expecting this at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sigh of relief. And it's nice. And it makes you feel warm about the world accepting you, and that it can happen, that you can be accepted, and everyone's just people. You say that to me all the time, Sammy. People are just people.
We are people.
No matter what
human
position
beings
they're in, yeah.
And look, it's not everybody. You know, you can expect some people to react badly. The most common ones is really family.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so tough for family because they've been so close to you and known you as this gender for so many years, and then they've got to start saying different pronouns, and it's really tough when it's a blood relative, I think, because I find my friends are more accepting than any of my blood family.
Yeah.
And they're more supportive. So it really depends on how close you are, I think, with that person.
Although I was very surprised when I was interviewing people on the weekend how many young people said that the one person that helped them the most in their life was their mum.
Yep.
I think they're the ones that made me cry.
Yeah.
Because I felt so happy for them that in actual fact in this day and age, parents are being much more accepting. You know, okay, they might still go through the shock process,
mm-hmm.
but they come to accept. And that's fabulous. That's,
yeah.
How cool that's kind of what you want.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you want.
That is, yeah.
I planned my transition in a lot of detail. It was like a big project for me, probably the biggest, definitely the most important project I've ever done in my life.
But, yeah.
I mean, I've been in the business world and there's hundreds of people I've worked who have worked for me over the years and all those sorts of things. And I try to maintain, you know, still being able to do what I do for a living. Somehow or other, I had to come out to them. So I did it in a number of different phases. I came out, firstly, I dealt with my kids.
Okay.
And then I dealt with my business partner, who had known for like 16 years.
Yeah.
He didn't know, no one knew a thing about this, of course, because you hide it completely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And his reaction was, it took him about 30 seconds, and it's like, I can't believe, Sammy, that you thought that I wasn't going to be your friend after this.
Oh.
So sweet. And then I picked off different parts of my social groups, one person here, one person there, and I found that I kept on getting great support. I thought, wow, this is amazing. So then I did a big bang. I spent some time writing some really good content, and I published a website, and then I sent it to 150 people one night.
Wow.
I sent an email to 150 people, and I thought, because it's very binary in as such as, you know, you can't just suddenly turn up presenting as female when everyone's known you as male.
Mm-hmm.
My very last day before I went full time, I changed over three times. So I played male and female on the one day because of different meetings and different social things
really?
That I had to attend. And it's so complicated. I had to remember what my name was, you know, how I walk, how I talk, you know, what I'm wearing.
Did you do the old Mrs. Doubtfire and slip into the men's and get dressed as a woman?
I had to rush off home and get changed and go back out again, you know. And I was wearing makeup in those days. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of, you know, put the makeup on and then take it off and put it back on again.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was going through like five sets of clothes $2 a day. It was, you know, the washing machine was getting a good workout.
Yeah.
But it was, for me, I had to tell as many people as possible. I had to get it out of the way.
Yep.
So that the people that knew me could accept it and deal with it, and then if they didn't like it, I didn't care.
Yep.
But I just needed to move on.
That's
so.
It. Yeah, I felt like that at one stage. I felt like I had two identities because I had mail coming for my birth name, but I felt like Kurt, and it was kind of like, who's this other person? Keep hanging around, you know. Get rid of her.
it was the same.
Yeah, and so it's nice to just tell everyone so you can just be just Sammy and no one else, or just Kurt and there's not this other person hanging around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I know that coming out was a huge thing for me and a huge thing for you, Sammy, and I got really nervous before I came out.
Oh, tell me about it.
And I sort of was ready to skip the country in case it didn't go well.
Me too.
Yeah. You know, I was ready to just get out of here.
Yeah. I had another passport ready to go.
Yeah.
I had everything ready. If I had to leave the country, I was going to do that.
Oh, yeah. Gone. But because I was actually I was embarrassed about what people would think, as in people who don't know much about people who are transgender might be looking at me going, but you look like a girl. What are you, a weirdo or something? You're completely crazy asking us to say he when you look like a girl. And I was worried about that, which made me want to get onto testosterone really quickly so I could show people I wasn't going to present like this forever. And that being transgender isn't being a woman with a beard. I'm doing quotes if
you are doing
for those
quotes
who are in the studio.
With your fingers,
because I wouldn't say that, but some people would call, you know, a trans man a woman with a beard, or a trans lady a man in a skirt, type thing. And I really wanted to prove to these people who weren't educated about transgender people that we're not weirdos. We're not sex freaks or anything.
Yeah.
We're just...
Do you know one other thing? I mean, for me, writing down the content and putting on a website was great because I didn't have to explain the story in detail to everybody. And I had a couple of friends edit it for me, and I used it as an education to explain to people. But one of the things that I was most concerned about was that my male friends... I needed to let them know that I was now a lesbian, that I wasn't interested in them, and that all the times that we'd shared going to the bathroom together, I wasn't looking and I wasn't interested. I was worried that they were going to get freaked out about it, so I had to emphasize that and make an important point about it.
Yeah.
Because men can get really aggro about these sorts of things. So I was kind of a little bit scared. Mm-hmm. And I had to, at the same time I had to talk about gender, I had to talk about sexuality.
Yes.
And explain that to people as to what it, you know, that they're not the same.
Exactly.
And that they're disconnected.
Yes. I find that about with my cis male friends going into a bathroom with them, I wonder if they think it's weird. But if you would like to SMS us your opinions on coming out, and if you've ever come out and had a difficult or even positive story, SMS us on 0427-JOY949 or phone on 1300-JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I've got Sammy in the studio, and we're talking a checklist for a successful transition.
So we got through a few things. It's taken us a while, so we're going to go a bit quicker, don't you reckon? We've got so many things to talk about. Let's talk about figuring out your name. How did you figure out yours?
Well, I wanted something that started with K because my birth name started with K, and it's actually really similar to the shortening of my birth name. So my nickname before is similar to Kurt now. So it was just something that I react to, which I found comfortable. And also, I think sometimes you need to get people to call you that name for a little bit and see if it fits for you.
Yeah.
When choosing a name.
Yeah.
How did you get Sammy?
Oh, look, when I was born, I was fostered out for a little while. That's my lovely New Zealand family that I still see every so often. And they didn't like the name that my parents gave me, so they decided to call me Sammy. And so when it came time to choose a name, it was obvious. They had called me always when I went back to visit them. They always called me Sammy. They never called me the name that my parents gave me. So it was me. I've had this name for all my life.
Yeah.
It was just nice to actually make it official.
Yeah.
So really simple for me.
Yep. So you've legally changed it to Sammy?
Yeah. You know, everything's, all my paperwork and everything's all been changed. So,
yeah, nice.
Yeah, it was very important to me to get rid of my old name, which I hate and I'll never say. Almost nobody, none of my new friends know what it is, and it's, it makes me feel really anxious and uncomfortable
it's
and yucky.
Gross.
I can't say it, I can't hear it, I can't see it in writing. So,
Yeah. I find that way about my birth name as well. It's yucky as. But did you find that you had any trouble changing your name, or was it quite straightforward?
Oh, it was really easy.
Really easy.
I mean, there's basically in Victoria, there's stuff you just download from the internet and a register of, you know, births, deaths and marriages. And you have to fill in paperwork and you have to get a police to sign photocopies and so just as the piece to sign other bits and pieces. And it's basically filling in a form that's like 7 pages long.
Yeah, plenty of paperwork.
But, you know, other than that, it's actually relatively easy.
Okay.
And getting a passport was cool because I got my doctor to write a letter to say that I was transitioning and I applied for my passport with the correct letter in the gender column.
Awesome.
And it took 8 weeks.
Yep.
But it came back. And it was all done. So for me, it was relatively easy. It was just a matter of following the instructions.
And exactly.
All the stuff has already been done for us. All the people who've come before us have done all the hard yards to make this easy for us now.
So the next thing is hormone treatment.
Oh, dear. This is a big one, isn't it?
This is a massive one.
We should spend a whole show on this one.
Well, Nate and I briefly talked about testosterone, mental, physical and emotional changes, but we don't know anything about estrogen or what it's like for an MTF, really. I just know that estrogen equals emotions.
And God, they're fantastic.
Really?
I love them. I love my emotions. They're great. You know, I used to say I had like 5 emotions and you could use one single word to describe them. And that included the one none. Yep. No emotion at all.
None.
Whereas now I have these really complex emotions. I can't even explain them sometimes. Mm. And they're all going on at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I just love it. I really love it.
Yeah.
It's made me a much nicer person. I'm much more empathetic and compassionate to other people. I'm thinking about other people a lot of the time as well. And
I think that might be a trans person thing, though. Because
maybe. I mean, I can giggle and cry at the same time. And I can cry so much easier than I could before. And I like crying. It's cool.
It's good
for
you.
One of the best things about being a woman is it's actually okay to cry.
It is.
And much more difficult when you're, particularly if you're a straight male, much more difficult to cry. So then when you do cry, it tends to be explosive. Because I'll cry at the drop of a hat, little sad movie, you know, whatever it happens to be, something that's sweet that I see, you know.
Yeah. That's funny because I started testosterone and I remember having a bad day and felt like crying, but I actually physically couldn't. I felt like I was like, my tears constipated or something. I just needed to have a cry, but I couldn't.
Yeah, well, I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a cry, but I'm having one anyway. And I love it to death. It's great. What about
presentation?
Oh, what have we got? Clothing. For me, there's things like makeup and hair and shoes. I mean, again, when I first came out, I chose to be very feminine, I suppose, is maybe the right word for it, because I really wanted to pass.
Yeah.
So, you know, you wouldn't see me in trousers.
Yeah.
I know that anyone that knows me now would find that wouldn't believe that. I wore dresses and skirts, and that's all I wore.
Yeah.
I didn't wear any floral ones.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't leave the house without makeup on.
Yeah.
You know, I had hair extensions. I spent so much money on hair extensions for a year while my hair was growing. Mm. Because they look so much better than wigs. And presentation is so important to being accepted out in the wide world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so comfortable with who I am now. I've backed off a lot on a lot of that stuff. And I don't remember the last time I wore makeup.
Yeah.
And I only wear a dress when I want to freak my friends out. And it'll usually be very short.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit kinky or something like that. But, you know, but I think one of the best things for me in being a woman is I can wear whatever I like.
Yeah.
You know, I go into a business environment and I look at all the women and there's no one just wearing the same thing.
Mm.
And all the guys are wearing suits, ties. Yeah. And shirts and shoes, and they pretty much look the same. And I think it's really hard for men actually to be able to comfortably be different in those sorts of environments.
Mm.
Whereas for women, we can be wear whatever we like. It's great.
Yeah,
I've got a massive wardrobe. You know, I've got a 2-bedroom apartment, and you know, I've got clothes don't fit into both wardrobes. They're overflowing. You know. I used to have like 3 pairs of shoes and now I've lost count of how many pairs of shoes, and it's more than dozens. So, you know, presentations, very important, I think, really important for me in particular to being able to be successful
Absolutely.
As a human being.
Yeah. For me, one of the things I wanted most was to pass. Yeah. Right up there with feeling comfortable with my own body was passing. It was right up there.
You know, passing wasn't so important for me at that time.
Okay.
Not in person. What was more, the most single most important thing for me actually was my voice.
Ah, yes.
And it was my very first medical intervention that I chose to pursue.
Mm.
And I was quite lucky because I didn't have to do very many lessons to kind of discover my voice.
Yeah.
But that was the most important thing to me because I could always talk on the phone.
Yep.
But I didn't want to be misgendered on the telephone.
I know. It's weird when you get misgendered on the telephone.
It is weird. Do you know
awkward.
Well, you know, I'm a bikey chick. I ride motorbikes. And I know lots about motorbikes and mechanical stuff and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, whenever I talk to them, it's always the same thing. It's like, sir, and it's like... You wait until I come in there, you won't be calling me sir.
Yeah.
And they feel so ashamed and embarrassed about it, which yeah. I kind of, you know, I'm not mean about it, but, you know, I kind of like, I'm assertive about it. It's like, and I have a good giggle with them about it, you know, and they sort of, I walk in and they're quite ashamed when they see me. Oh, I'm sorry, madam.
Well, because it's embarrassing for them and not for you.
It is now.
It is now.
It is now. Yeah. But it never used to, it wasn't before.
Mm.
You know, I got really, really anxious about being misgendered.
Mm.
Whereas now it doesn't happen very often at all. When it does, it's now, it's a bit of a giggle.
But yeah, because it's totally not your fault. It's almost like cisgendered people getting misgendered.
Yeah,
it happens.
Is.
People make mistakes.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It's nothing that, you know, it's nothing personal against you.
So once I'd got over the voice thing and I discovered that, and then yes, my next thing to move into was how do I get away with passing?
Mm-hmm.
How can I walk down the street, catch public transport, and people are staring at me not because they're confused about my gender.
But because you're gorgeous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We both
so
are.
So how did you manage that?
We both are.
How did you manage that, Sammy? What did you do?
Well, I guess there was things like the makeup and the clothes that I wore.
Mm-hmm.
My hair was very boring. It was beautiful hair extensions sort of thing. And, you know, I had friends and even my kids helped me go shopping for clothes.
Oh, that's good.
Which was lovely back in those days.
I suppose it's tough because you never would have got to do that sort of stuff with your mother, as in her showing you how to put makeup on. Or
no, but I actually had a couple of ex-girlfriends come and help.
Oh, nice.
Which was a real surprise to me.
Yeah.
That they were quite happy to come and help me. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
And surprising. And, you know, other people, neighbours and...
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Workmates and all sorts of people just came out of the woodwork. It's like to come and help me with stuff.
It nice.
Really
nice.
Surprising. I suppose it's, you know, it was a bit of a novelty in some ways.
Yeah.
In a nice way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like a grown-up little teenager. They could play with and teach stuff and she wanted to learn everything.
Yeah. Hungry for knowledge.
Yeah.
I remember I had to get an older trans guy to teach me how to shave because I had no idea that you actually don't go against the grain.
Yeah, I know.
Who would know that, you know?
Well, I'd know all about that
stuff. I guess you'd know that if you were a little boy growing up with your dad shaving in the mirror.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, we'll come back to our checklist in a little bit. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Radio that's out and proud. Joy.
Joy 94.9 strives to connect, represent, and celebrate our diverse community through programming that uplifts, informs, and empowers. We love to hear your feedback on our programs, and you can now share your thoughts via the 2014 Joy Listener Survey. You can find it now at joy.org.au. The Joy Listener Survey will help us know what you like, what you love, and what you'd like to hear more of or less of. It will take only 15 minutes, plus you'll go into a draw to win a fantastic prize valued at over $500. Your feedback is important to us. Have your say today with the Joy 94.9 Listener Survey. Head to joy.org.au today.
Joy 94.9, you're with Sammy and Kurt, and this is Transpositions. Hey, Kurt, we've got to rush on to get on with our checklist, don't we?
Yeah.
I know. We like talking, you and me.
So we talked a little bit about voice training. I suppose for FTMs it's easier because we just let the testosterone make
You just take testosterone
break.
And it sorts it out.
Sorts it out.
Although not all F2Ms are able to take testosterone, it sometimes causes all sorts of health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I assume that once you've got your voice, if you came back off testosterone, you'd kind of keep it, wouldn't you?
You would. Your voice can't unbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened to me?
Yeah.
Well, I had to learn how to speak again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a most amazing thing that La Trobe University, there's a voice clinic, and there's one of the most beautiful human beings on this world is Georgia Dukakis. And she has been researching and working with voice feminization for the last three decades.
Wow.
And so I met with her And she has this program that she has developed over all these years, and she makes you go and do all these funny exercises. Mm-hmm. And I said to her one day, I don't understand. Why are you making me do these exercises? I want to sound like a chick, and this stuff isn't making me do that. And she said, Sammy, just keep going. Mm. Just keep doing it. You'll be fine. And it just clicked. One day for me, I was just lucky. Something just clicked. And it's about – I need to use hands to kind of explain this, but it's but it's a little bit about moving my voice from my throat up to my mouth. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit about what the sort of the technique is.
Yes.
And I find that I often have to put the volume levels up on the mics here a little bit higher to get the same volume level as other people because I don't quite have the volume.
The boom
that I used to have.
Yeah, because you're talking up in your head sort of.
Now, for a bit of a joke, this is a bit of a segue, but for a bit of a joke, I thought, hey, it'd be funny to be able to put on my old male voice. You know, I freak people out a little bit. Can't do it. I've tried. I can't do it. No. Well, I'm lying a little bit, but it's really difficult, really, really difficult because I've been talking like this for quite a long time now.
Yep.
And I probably could do it, but it would take a bit of effort and it would be in complete private.
Yeah.
No one else could hear me.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I'd like to freak people out, but not in that way.
It's funny that you say that because my voice even sometimes goes a little bit crazy and like a bit girly. And when I get excited, you know, I start to talk in my head.
Okay.
Not sort of like in my thoughts, but actually up my
same
voice
sort of thing
is
as
in
me.
My head. Yeah.
Yeah, where it moves from down below in your chest and your throat and it comes up to in your mouth,
to
the back of your mouth.
Yeah,
to the back of your mouth.
Sort of talking from your throat.
Yeah.
Whereas if I want to do that real deep voice, you know, sort of like...
You should be a radio announcer.
Lucky I'm here.
One of the techniques and the tricks that we were taught that was really cool was to put your fingers on your throat. And as you're talking, whether you can feel any vibrations or not. And I can't feel any vibrations in my throat.
Yeah.
Whereas you can, can't you?
I can,
you? Right. Yeah, exactly.
And that was one of the first things that I noticed when my voice was breaking, that I was vibrating, and I liked it, and I kind of liked to do that real low hum because it gave me some sort of, you know, that nice...
A buzz.
Yeah, a buzz. That's it, a buzz.
I think the other thing is it's not just about the pitch, but it's also about how you actually construct sentences, you know, reducing the amount of swear words that I used to use, you know, the intonation and how your voice goes up and down.
Yeah.
Whilst I hate this from a feminist perspective, women often talk in a little bit more of a subservient tone than men do.
Okay.
So at the end of a sentence, often I'll go up in my pitch at the end of a sentence, which is almost like subservient, saying, hey, man.
It's almost like a question.
It's like a question. Are you okay with me saying this thing I just said to you?
Yeah.
So I, you know, practice that a lot of that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it's much more complex than just pitch.
Yep.
And it's just practice.
Practice.
And, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at. I think I sound a bit weird, but most people say, no, it's cool. So it's like, okay, whatever. If that's what you think, that's fine. And, in fact, when I listen to myself, my recorded voice, I actually do enjoy listening to it.
Yeah.
Whereas when I used to listen to my old voice, I used to hate it.
Hate it.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
I feel exactly the same
way. Yeah. So, that's cool. Mm. Let's move on.
Okay. Do you think walking and gestures kind of also goes with... You know, that presentation.
Yeah, so I did a lot of reading on this.
Mm.
And again, you know, again, from a feminist perspective, I feel uncomfortable about it. But I have changed the way that I walk.
Yep.
I tend to put one foot in front of the other a little bit because it tends to gives me a little bit of a wobble. But I make my, you know, I tend to travel so that my feet are sort of crossed.
Yes.
I don't know how to do that hand thing. I just knock the microphone while I'm trying to do the hand gestures. Anyway, there's a way that I learn how to walk and it just makes me feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Sort of walking with your legs closed a bit more.
A little bit. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And how guys sit with their legs open.
It's like walking in a straight white line, you know, and your foot's always touching the line as you're walking along.
Yeah.
And
do you wiggle your butt more?
Oh, when I think about it, depends who's behind me, if she's attractive or not. Well, of course she is, but if it's a guy, no. So, walking. You know, you never think of walking as being an important thing. You just don't think of it. But it is important. For me, it was important and one of many, many things to think about.
Mm. For me, I struggle sometimes with gestures. I can be quite, I guess...
Animated? Oh, camp.
Animated, yeah.
And you're a straight guy. You're not supposed to be camp.
No. People probably think when they see me and my girlfriend out that this poor girl's got this camp boyfriend. He doesn't know he's gay and she doesn't know he's gay. And
oh, well, you know, maybe she's straight and you're gay and she's just your mate. You know, you're just a mate or something, you know. Whatever.
Anyway, who cares what other people think? Anyway.
Exactly.
So, the massive one here is surgery because... it's irreversible, isn't it? Top surgery and bottom surgery.
That's right.
It's all permanent forever.
That's right. So you've really got to be absolutely sure that this is what you want to do. And I think this is why we have some of the gatekeepers that a lot of people don't like and some people are okay with. For me personally, I was okay with the gatekeepers. They annoyed me. They annoyed me that they had to be there.
Yeah.
But it did give me some certainty at the end of the process that this was something that I really was determined I needed to do. I had no choice about it.
Yep.
The statistics on regret for trans surgery are very, very low. In fact, they're the most...
Isn't it 1%?
Less than 1%, which is actually anything that... it's hardly elective surgery, but things that you're not going to die other than maybe kill yourself from.
Yes.
It's the lowest of any known... of anything that I've ever come across. So,
yeah.
You know, things like, you know, any cosmetic surgery or things that you want to do that you aren't going to, like, you know, it's not a serious injury to come from, but it's the most successful surgery of all. And I do think that maybe a little bit has got to do with the fact that we do have these gatekeepers.
Yep.
And I think about things like when women are thinking about getting breast implants, cisgender women, that I think they should have to go through this sort of a little bit of a, you know, are you sure that this is the right thing for you to do? Are you going to be convinced that, you know, you're going to be happy with it?
Yeah.
And that would improve the rates of lack of regret for them as well.
Absolutely, yeah, because I think for some people, some people would suffer an identity crisis, I suppose, and get obsessed with these ideas of I could be that. And it can almost be just an obsession and a moment, a phase, I guess.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go all the way during your phase and then
when
come out of it.
Totally reversible. I mean, the one thing that I think was very clear dealing with the shrinks, I'm sure that they don't like me calling them that.
Shrinks.
But anyway, the shrinks and the gatekeepers, they don't like me calling them that either. But that's what I think they are. Lovely people that they are.
Lovely.
The one thing that they really, the question that kept on coming back was the difference between transvestite and transgender. Was this something that I had a sexual fetish about, or was it actually, so I guess what they're really trying to discover is if you lose those bits that you had, are you not going to get the pleasure in life that you used to have before? And that seemed to be the underlying theme in their questioning that they kept on talking about. And you know, I feel like I'm a broken record sometimes, and I say being trans to me has got nothing to do with my sexuality.
Exactly.
They're just so different.
So different.
So, you know, that was kind of like, to me, that for me personally, that was an easy thing to answer all the thousands of questionnaires that I answered.
Yeah.
And to tick the right answers all the way along.
Yeah. I suppose I've been wondering something in my head, Sammy, and I suppose this is a good time to ask. If you're MTF and you have bottom surgery, can you still orgasm?
Oh, wow. He's asked me that question on live radio.
And I didn't even prompt you before. I know. I just came
question
out,
without notice. I feel like I'm in Parliament. Question without notice. Are you asking about me personally or asked about in general?
Look, it's whatever you're comfortable answering.
Geez, I'd love to answer that question, but nobody ever gives a straight answer to that question. But yeah, absolutely, of course.
Yep.
Every single person's anatomy is different.
Yep.
And the results that different people get will be different.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely.
So people lose feeling down there.
Well,
and
what I said was at the time, I said it, and I can't believe I'm committing to this on radio. I've probably got friends listening to me. But I said, if I can't have another orgasm in my life, I don't care. It's not the issue for me.
Exactly.
It's not. It's a great, cool thing to have, but I could do without it, but I can't keep having the body that I had. So it was one of those things that one thing was more important than the other. And I was prepared to accept that maybe I would never have another one in my life. That was an okay thing for me.
That is big.
Yeah, it was big. Well,
yeah.
Of course, the whole thing's big, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As you say, this is totally irreversible.
Yep.
And you really need to give a lot of consideration to all these different kinds of things. You know, coming back to what we said at the beginning of the show about education, you know, you need to educate yourself about this. But look, the quality of surgery for M2Fs these days is, I think it's really, really good. And, you know, in Australia and Melbourne in particular, we're very lucky. We're blessed to have Andy Ives as one of the most delightful human beings on the planet, I think.
Lovely guy, yeah.
Who does all the trans surgeries now in Melbourne. And he just does a fantastic job. He's very safe, you know, risk averse. He won't do anything if he thinks it's going to be dangerous.
Yes.
I think that... you know, 30 years ago, they didn't do surgeries the way they do them now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think there's a very high probability that, you know, that a trans woman will be able to have an orgasm. Very high probability of it.
Yeah.
Is there a loss of sensitivity? I guess, but it's not just about physical, it's also about hormones.
Yes.
So you would notice, for example, that taking testosterone has given you more libido.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Reduction of testosterone reduces your libido.
Yeah.
So, you know, the urge isn't kind of there as much anymore, and it's not really the thing that drives my brain.
Yeah.
We're now going to get into stereotypes, so we better be careful.
I think we've been stereotyping all night. So
we're just talking about ourselves. I'm going to have to stereotype myself.
Yeah. So we're going to come back in a little bit. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and the hour has gone just so quickly.
Let's just talk about the last couple of things you've got on our list, and we'll try to wrap it up really quickly. So the things that we had on our list was how it feels, and also being happy and just getting on with life.
That's it.
And I think that you and I we've kind of done a lot of our journey, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm so over the moon that I decided to make this decision in my life. I've got a whole new lease on life.
Yep.
And I'm being constructive. I'm being a useful member of the world now. I'm actually the secretary on the board of Joy.
Yeah.
And I'm doing useful things. And I've been organizing a special general meeting. We're doing some constitutional changes. And I'm starting to grow my business again. I've got happy customers that are keeping me busy. And I'm also involved with Bent TV. And we're doing a series on trans for Bent TV that'll be on in springtime. So I'm actually trying to do useful things with my life now.
Yeah.
And it's like my journey has been tough through this period, but now I'm moving on.
Well, because you've gained that strength from the tough journey. You've just got stronger and stronger and more knowledge.
I think that no matter where you are in your journey, it can be pretty tough sometimes, but it always keeps moving and evolving and keeps changing, and things really do get better eventually.
They do, and if you keep pushing on, the stronger you'll get, and it'll make you a better person. Well, we've got more to get through anyway for the other episodes of Transpositions. So please do keep listening to Transpositions on Tuesday nights. Thank you so much for coming in today, Sammy.
I've just got one more thing. We've got a message.
Go for
do you think
it.
We should quickly read this message?
Do it.
Do you want to read the message?
We've got a message from Yolanda.
Yolanda.
You can read it.
Oh, okay. Hi, Sammy. Great show. Just a quick story about being misgendered. When Con and I were a newish couple, he had a pigtail and we were both wore overcoats. So at a suburban Italian restaurant, a waiter approached our table from behind and said, "So, ladies, what could I get for you?" Cornelius used to work for me, so this is quite funny. We didn't make any issue of it. Ordered and he went away. He never came back. He swapped tables with another waiter in the kitchen and we never saw him again. Con was very amused. Thank you, Yolanda. That's great. Love that story.
Thank you.
I'll keep a copy of that one and let Corny know about that one. So you're going to wrap up. We're going to go.
Yes. So thank you, Jerry, on the front desk. Next week, we've got Dee and Dylan, who are two young trans boys, and they're going to share their experience with having chest surgery in Melbourne. So we were talking about Andy Ives before, and he's the Melbourne dude for anything transgender surgeries, top surgeries, bottom surgeries. FTM's usually just the top surgery at this stage. So he does a great job. So Dee and Dylan are going to be in. So make sure you're listening next week. Transpositions. Next up is Sci-Fi and Squeam with Sonia. And it's been a great show tonight, Sammy. And thank you, Jerry, at the front desk.
I'm just waiting to see if I can load the CD for the next show. Thank you for having me on for the last three of the last 4 weeks.
Yes.
I will be on holidays again for a few, then I might come back and join you again.
You better.
Host on another show.
Because I'm going to miss you and I'll cry.
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and blabber on.
It's great. All right. Next up, Sonia with Sci-Fi and Squeam.
You're
Bye.
Listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.